This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The summer for many before back to school, some already heading back to school. What are the rules? What does it look like? What's happening when you're traveling, when it comes to cruising, when it comes to the airlines, and when it comes to foreign travelers coming into this country? We have many people listening to us in all parts of the world. Wherever you're listening, thanks so much for joining us. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. So let's just roll right into it. What in the world is going on with Spirit Airlines? Last week, I mean, even on Thursday, they canceled half of their flights. I mean, they've canceled almost 2,000 plus flights. And what do? They apologize to the passengers after days of staggering flight cancellations. They're blaming operational meltdowns on all kinds of things like weather, technology outages. I know I talked about the staffing shortages. And I would think anybody that's on Spirit Airlines would think twice, because if you're trying to take a trip, you're probably not going to get there. You know, there's people sleeping in airports. It's insane. It's crazy. And that's not the only disruption. I mean, there's lots of other airlines who are suffering through the staffing problem. And then, of course, there is always the wicked curveball of Mother Nature, as I like to call it, that can happen when you're flying. We get that. But, you know, cheap airfares, I would say forget about it. I would just get on an airline that you feel like you have a better chance of getting from one point to another. And the other thing I would say is, you know, it used to be, well, it can be cheaper if you take a couple of little short hops. How many of you would never take a flight where it wasn't nonstop? Because what are the chances, especially now? I mean, in this kind of ramp-up period, which you would think it wouldn't be ramp-up period, but I'm going to call it that, and then you throw in other headaches, you are just gambling. But on Spirit, yeah, there is, like I said before, no Spirit on Spirit. A week later, same problems, same promises, and people that are just beside themselves and trying to figure out how they can squeeze in a vacation when they've lost so many days. There's been a lot of talk about cruise lines because so much was lost financially, of course, in the hospitality industry just in general, but that definitely goes to cruises. So Carnival Cruise changed their policy. They're going to require masks for all passengers vaccinated, by the way, and unvaccinated in indoor areas, on board in the ships, in some of those areas. Mandatory pre-cruise COVID-19 testing, because we know that there are people that have gotten those breakthrough positive tests even though they've been vaccinated. So this whole on-board mask policy kicks into effect on, it kicked into effect the tail end of last week, and it goes all the way through the end of October. So how about that? Even fully vaccinated guests have to show proof of negative COVID-19 tests within 3 days of embarking. So this means if you're going to get a cruise, if you're going to do a cruise, which a lot of them are in Florida and they have long lines for the testing, you got to get tested. Now, tests can be arranged, I guess, and paid for independently, but there's going to be pier-side testing in the terminal. This is what they originally thought they were going to have, and it's not going to be available because you have too many people that would be getting on these cruises, even if it's half the amount. Some of these boats are so big, and that's a big deal. That's a big deal that they're saying masks and whether you're vaccinated or not, and also the very, very specifics about the COVID testing. And I think there are people that were anxious to get back on cruise ships, and this is probably affecting some of you actually that are listening to me. Yeah. So you have to pay attention. There is no more jumping on something at the last second. You know, those days, my friends, are way over. Yeah. crazy. Something I wanted to mention, too, because we saw the wrap-up of the Olympics and some of the ratings overall were down. You know, it's interesting that some of the stories that came out of there, some of the stories were amazing, but where you had Simone Biles who gets a bronze, and then you have the women who get a bronze medal in soccer. I mean, we're not used to that, right? What is the finale for Megan Rapinoe and Carly Lloyd? It turns out to be a bronze medal. I think that might have been one of that, and the relay, the men's relay for the U.S., the one team, and all the criticism over what were they thinking and how did this happen. I think that was super disappointing. If you were looking at some of the shockers of the games, I would say, because I've had a few of you ask me that, I would say that would be a couple of things that were absolutely shocking. But the medal count, you know, when you hit 90 and above, something is happening right. It's, I mean, definitely. And I love the story of the freestyle wrestler David Taylor, who got a 5-3 win and clinched gold, and it wasn't easy. And I didn't even realize, just I think about wrestling. I used to score wrestling in high school, and to see that was one of those great stories. And, of course, we have more recaps of the Olympics, but it's over. And the count was high for the U.S., as expected, and so that's the good news there. Coming back, we're going to do our nail the score thing this season, because I've had a few people ask that, so I'm going to say that right here at the beginning. Preseason is kicking off, you know, across the land, and you've got the Cowboys who are doing Hard Knocks on HBO, and you have a lot of conversation about what's coming up with fantasy football and what teams are going to look like. And I always say that, you know, they might look like killers in training camp, but then you got to wait a couple games in to see if you can get a sense of whatever the rhythm of the team is going to be. And now with the Delta variant at the top of the season and with strict regulations of not vaxxed, forget about it, pretty much. Like if you've got some COVID that goes rampant and then you've got to forfeit a game, can you just imagine that happening? And I think that's one of the biggest fears of some of these teams in trying to make it a reality that players who don't want to be vaccinated get it, because could it end up costing the team in the end, right? And the answer is, of course it could end up costing the team in the end. I mean, that's the bottom line. And I got to say this too at the top, because again, this is something that a few of you highlighted to me, and you've highlighted the, you know, what happened with this woman in San Francisco. There was this picture last week that just went viral, right? And it was a woman leaning out of a moving car holding an AK-47. And I guess this was during an illegal exhibition of speed event. And this was at Barneveld and McKinnon. And a passenger leaned out, and the San Francisco Police Department traffic company people who worked up a case and seized the car, you know, pumped that all over, showed that all over the place. What a crazy thing when you think of the uptick in shootings and assaults in that city. In San Francisco, they've had 119 shootings, fatal and non-fatal, for the first 6 months of 2021, compared to 58 in the first half of the last year. Wow, wow, wow. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared, and now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today. Joining us right now is Rick Brennan, and he's written a book. I love this title, Ramblings of a Mad Outlaw. And you think about that and you think, you know, before I even looked at it, before just looking at the cover, I let my mind kind of go wild of what are the ramblings of a mad outlaw? And he did not disappoint. Let's put it that way. So, Badge, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks for having us in your house, because that's where we're at.
Yes, yeah.
So people know, it's like this is theater of the mind. He is in this amazing room where he's got books from the ceiling all the way to the floor. So tell us about your book. What led you to write this book?
Okay. For many, many years, I did research thinking on science and was interested in the fact that that people are unfortunately far more complicated than we like to think they are. And that there are so many ways that you can look at people, whether through literature, through music, through medicine, and so on and so forth. And that if you're kind of a different kind of person than a person who, if you like, looks at differently, doesn't always see the world the way other people see it, that I realize I need to write something that could sort of address the person who maybe is a little bit different, who is confused by all the different ways we can look at life, and try to say that there's a way of working through all that stuff that can give you a sense of quietness and peace. And if I use a sailing analogy, which I've used a lot, is that people are in rough seas and they don't know how to handle that. And life seems terrible. So people are sometimes looking for simple answers. If I just had a bigger ship, would I be safer or whatever? But for the experienced captain, the person who's been out to sea forever, that there isn't the fear, because there's a sense of inner calmness and an experience of knowing how to deal with the waves and the sea. And so crises that might be crises to others are just part of dealing with life. And so what I wanted to do is to set up a book that is dealing with, you know, in a sense from an outsider's point of view, and I use the outlaw from Tom Robbins kind of use of that, of someone who's outside the normal thing and who has the intuitive sense of how to cope with the world, you know, in sort of a very different kind of calm, settled manner. I don't know if I explained that well, but
you did. Yeah. And so we should tell the listeners, how about you with this calm seas, a 43-foot sailboat in the Mediterranean that right. had yeah. your name on that. What was that like?
Yeah, that was as a kid, and I. But that was interesting because I met this guy who didn't know how to sail, and he had bought this boat. He was from New York City. And he had no idea how to sail. And I met him in Palermo, which is like a terrible place in Sicily. And he said, I need a skipper. And so I said, okay, I'll take on the job. And so we sailed around the Med. We had some big storms, ended up in Tunisia, did lots of different kinds of things, interesting adventures. I got to the point that after doing that for a while, I decided I need to move to my next adventure once the seas calm. But that was sort of an interesting kind of adventure as a kid. I had sailed all my life anyway, so I was sort of, you know, this guy picked me up as, you can run my boat for me. So anyway.
I think that is an interesting adventure, and I'm glad that we mentioned it. So yeah. In the book, Ramblings of a Mad Outlaw, which you can get on Amazon, just give us a little glimpse of something specific that we'll find in the book.
Okay, specific. There are lots of specifics, I think. I don't know if this is specific enough, but in the beginning, you know, what I do is I look at the world from symbolically, look at it from a medical point of view, how the brain works, look at it from a musical point of view, look at it from sort of taking all these different point of views and saying, you know, they all have validity. There's always something in all these kinds of things. The only thing is that you end up either being confused or you look for a simple answer. So you're looking for someone who can just give me one answer and I'll be happy, you know. And so what I want to do is to take the reader through this adventure of all these different things. And we look at ethics, you know, as well. And so how do we, so Wittgenstein philosophical investigations, we look at the naturalistic fallacy. We look at all these kinds of things that resent or set up with confusion, but they're all parts of the way people look at the world. And I don't know if that's specific enough, but I wanted to set up a sense of confusion, but leading the reader through a sense of, okay, did you get this piece? No, you didn't. Okay, try that. It almost as if I'm talking to somebody, you know? And so that leaves them with a way to say, okay, now I've got all this confusion. Now what do I do? And so the second thing is to look at, this is how to deal with all that stuff, if that makes sense. Anyway,
that does make sense. So, because that's our brain, right? So, you're saying about
exactly,
rambling.
And I use the, you know, because I've dealt with neurological complicated issues and I've lectured about that in Europe and the U.S. and so on, is that we are complicated. And so it's really important to realize that There are things that shape our way of thinking or things that we believe that make us feel comfortable. And so I want people to see there's a little book by Alan Watts, you know, years ago called The Wisdom of Insecurity. And the idea is if we can have people feel comfortable with not knowing, that's a really important piece. And I, in my cynical hat, I say we have what we call the arrogance of ignorance. We have a lot of people who are dealing with people's mental health and physical health that think they have all the answers. And, you know, our way of looking, my way of looking at it is that the neat thing about life is we don't have answers. It's an ongoing exploration. It's like sailing and not knowing what's going to happen in the next adventure, but enjoying the adventure. If that makes sense. Yeah.
I love that, enjoying the adventure. Ultimately, I think you've weaved it into the conversation, but what do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Okay. Well, what I'm hoping is that if they can look at the peace and serenity that comes, and that is, there's a way of grounding and being calm, and I'll use the idea of calmness in your own body to a point that you have a comfort and you're not drawn into all the different kinds of ideologies and things that happen, you know, that we have tolerance and we have intolerance, but then we just have a sense of peace, inner peace, looking at this is the way life is. I can enjoy it, appreciate it. And I've done lots of different things as an example to say that, that enjoyment comes from activity, contemplation, but it has that a sense of inner peace, and sometimes politics and other things get involved, and sort of people get drawn into things that really take them away from who they really are in the sort of mystery of life. The other thing I use is I often use a lot of gyres or triangular shaped things, and looking at the fact is that we find peace at a lower point where what Yeats or Yeats and D.S. Eliot would talk about an inner still point, the point where everything stops. And in meditation and in thinking about and being relaxed, that you get to a point where you can have a certain peace and serenity. And that's really the whole idea, is to have that with inner self. And then the world looks very different.
I think it's a perfect place to end this. Who doesn't want that? Ramblings of a Mad Outlaw, Batch Brennan. Thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Really enjoyed that conversation with Batch Brennan. I love the title of his book, Ramblings of a Mad Outlaw. And just, you know, my takeaway from what he talked about is the need for human connection, right? So you think of the kind of life that he led, and I get that need for human connection, and I think so much of that, as he described to us there, which I found fascinating, was the sailing and the connection that you have when you sail, and what that's also like for you, I think, for your head, as you're out there in the elements, so to speak, and you've got nothing but the water in front of you, and then a ports, you know, the different ports that you ultimately come into. And it kind of reminded me of life, right? It's like the ports that we sail in and out of. Anyway, really enjoyed my conversation with Batch. And you can, of course, get his book on Amazon or get it at Barnes and Noble, as we've said before. Stay with us, everybody.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A new assessment from the CIA says that Afghanistan may fall under Taliban control within 6 months. That coming as Taliban fighters seized control of 3 more provincial capitals on Wednesday and now control about 2/3 of the country. Intelligence officials worry that Kabul could be encircled within 30 days. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says that the Taliban's offensive is something that officials are watching with deep concern. He tells Fox News that the Department of Defense is working on expanding its counterterrorism capabilities in the region should they be needed.
We're obviously concerned about any resurgence of Al-Qaeda or any other terrorist network in Afghanistan. It's not like they all permanently left. We know that there are groups like ISIS that are still operating inside Afghanistan. And one of the reasons why we are working hard to make sure we have in place over-the-horizon counterterrorism capabilities to be able to forestall any future threat emanating from Afghanistan to the homeland.
You're listening to USA Radio News. Oregon's governor is under fire for signing a law eliminating some requirements for the state's high school students to graduate. Lance Pry reports.
Oregon's Democrat governor secretly signed off on a law that allows high school students to graduate without proving they can read, write, or do simple math. Oregon's Senate Bill 744 was signed by the governor in June after the Oregon House passed the bill 38-18. The Oregon Senate then approved the measure in a 16-13 vote. Charles Boyle, an aide to the Democrat governor, said suspending the proficiency requirements will benefit Oregon's students of color. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
And the White House is looking for ways to curb rising gas prices, as prices are up an average of about a dollar over a year ago. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan called on the OPEC nations to speed up their measures to return production to pre-pandemic levels. The administration also asked the Federal Trade Commission to investigate the domestic market to see if anti-competitive behavior is behind any increase in gas prices. This is USA Radio News.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes, too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Is in our virtual green room in Sydney, Australia, and he's written a book called Life, Luck, and Liaison, and What's the Story? Just came out 2021, and let me tell you, just spending a few minutes with him and talking about his life, wow, it's a wow. I mean, what an interesting upbringing, and then some of what he was able to accomplish and just the things that he saw. I just want you to think about this for a second. How many of you can say you've been to 70 countries? How many of you can say that? How many of you can say that you went on wild sailing adventures with a man who ultimately became your mentor? And how many people can say they met the love of their life twice, once when she was too young, and how fortunate to meet her again when she was old enough, and they've been married for 50 years. That is something, let me tell you. John, thanks so much for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure, and it's been an exciting road to get here, and I very much appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and with your audience.
Let's talk about your life, because that's what you say. The book title is perfect because you've had some amazing adventures. Tell us about growing up on a farm in New Zealand and then how ultimately that in a way led to what you established, a really, really profitable company ultimately on your own.
Well, in New Zealand, there is a very good agricultural colleges, and there's very good marketing procedures that have been put in place because New Zealand's so far away and so small, it doesn't get a second chance. It must get it right. So I was given a very intensive training, first on a sheep farm as a stud shepherd, and then on a cropping farm as what they called a ploughman. So I learnt the basics. I then came to Australia and spent time on what is known as broad acre farming, because the properties and farms in Australia are so much larger than the smaller farms in New Zealand. But I wanted to get the information and challenges and see if I was able to equip myself under those circumstances as well. It was successful, but that was the point. I then met Captain Buck Taylor and set off on my first sailing venture, because I'd done my apprenticeship. I was coming out of my apprenticeship and I needed to get away from the farm. And after the sailing, I went back to New Zealand and livestock managed the farm. That is, looked after all the animals, the breeding, the mating, the shearing, the calving, everything that's concerned with farming, I was responsible for on our property.
Wow. And then one of the things, fast forward, that you told me about is how you grew your company to the point where, think of this for entrepreneurs out there, which I'm an entrepreneur, and you talk about business, and there's so many entrepreneurs listening. Imagine you start from scratch, you're self-made, and you build it up to 50 million U.S. A year. How did you do that?
You could say, by yes and by God, that would be wrong. It was very programmed, because I decided and learned by observing what other people were doing and who I worked for, more of what not to do than what to do. So in turn, I took that aboard for myself. And instead of trying to be all things to all people, I focused on one area, and that was international global trading. And trading means you are a trader, not a salesman. You're not selling a pound of sausages in the supermarket. You're selling 1,000 tons of meat to a buyer overseas, and I was able to visit all the major hamburger makers in the world, including in America. I was great friends with the people at Burger King and at McDonald's. And those were the clients I could talk to, because I had been trained to handle myself in those types of situations. And one of the biggest ones was that I had a meeting with the agricultural minister in Tehran for doing and exporting on the exclusive base of Australian New Zealand meat, for example, to Iran when the Shah was in power. And I had to sit at the top table with the government. And my training permitted me to equip myself with confidence, and I'm hoping to equip myself with the same confidence in your interview.
Oh, I think you're doing fabulous. It's fascinating to hear you talk about that and the connections you made and what that was like. Tell us about your life. So you travel to all these places. Do you have a favorite place that you went to of all those countries?
That is an impossible question, I must admit, because it has many facets. When I traveled, I liked excitement. My last great adventure was sailing on an Australian yacht with a fellow and his wife and his 7 and 9 year old daughters. And we sailed from the Maldives all the way to Egypt. We crossed the ocean and right through the length of the Red Sea, and we went into Eritrea. We went into Oman during when the Iraqi war was on. So there were aeroplanes flying above us, but we were sitting on the ocean, and we went right through the territory that was the worst for pirates that you could get. So I write about that quite extensively. So that was that type of travel. But then there's the other sort of travel. I have a very good English friend who became my best man, and he and I, with a couple of other friends, bear chartered. That is, that we sailed the yacht ourselves, and we sailed that yacht up through the West Indies. So we sailed to Grenada, where there is a regatta for a week. We participated in the regatta. We then went cruising for another 2 weeks. And that's when Jenny, my wife, would come with me. The other thing I think is terribly important in my life is fishing. I love fishing, and I love fishing in Northern Australia. And I've had some wonderful experiences, and that's quite unrelated to business.
Well, I love that. So Northern Australia, why Northern Australia? Some Aussies listening would know, but for the Americans and others, what is so great about Northern Australia? Is it just great, you know, ripe with fish? What is it?
It has coral reefs, and it has many, many coral reefs, which in turn are nurseries for the whole marine life in that part of the world. And the fish, the one that I like, and I write a poem in my book about it, is called barramundi. And it has an added bonus because it's beautiful eating fish. So when I went to up in Northern Australia the first time, I took a fishing safari, and I took my 12-year-old son with me. I took him out of school. What happened was I was drifting apart from my son because I was working and never at home and always traveling, and I realized I didn't know my son, and he was 12. So what I did, I took him out of school at my wife's horror, and took him with a number of other men. We went on a safari in the north, and we fished night and day, and we then kept the fish and froze them down, and in turn shipped them back for our own friends and colleagues to show what was in the north, you know?
Wow. Wow, what a great story. The book, you can pick it up on Amazon, is Life, Luck, and Liaisons, What's the Story? And it just came out. So what do you hope people take away from reading both of your books?
I want them to visit Australia. I want them to realize we're probably America's best friend. I want them to realize also that we have a lot to offer in support and continuing the support, because we believe that there's much, much similarity, although our country is much smaller, in how we want to see the world, how we want to influence people, and how it's important that when things are tough, that we stick together. Now, that is something that comes out of my writing, I feel, with relationships that I built on a lifelong basis with the people I sailed with. There is
Wow.
a crossover.
Yeah. What an interesting life you've led. And you carry it through both, as you said, so not to confuse anyone, the two books. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
It's been a pleasure, and I do wish you all the best, and look forward maybe that you'll give me a chance for my third and fourth books.
I love
you,
that.
Kate.
We will. We will. What an adventure.
SuperTea.com. Pouty Argo Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping.
To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You have Phil, who is the journalist, kind of a downtrodden journalist. He's rested. He's ready to move on to the next village when the proprietor of the inn hands him a mysterious envelope and asks him to open it only after he leaves town. I just think to myself, ooh, what's going to happen when he opens the envelope? And how can he not open it right away? That's the beginnings of The Devil's Jail. This is what we're talking about, the John Abbott story. And it's an intriguing novel. John Ivor Mitchell joins us, and he is the author of this novel. John, thanks for coming on.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you very much for inviting me.
So tell me about the beginnings of your writing. And you have several books. What started this all for you?
Well, in actual fact, it all started because I really actually had a really good idea. And I had no plans to write a book. But when this good idea came into my head, I said at the time, yes, I think there's a book here. What happened was that I went to a B&B, and the proprietor actually showed me an ancient shoe from the 17th century. And what he did was he did some renovations in the house, and he discovered this shoe inside the seam of the wall. He did some research, and he said, oh, my gosh, what happened in the 17th century was that people believed in witches, and witches could be trapped inside of a shoe if the shoe was placed in a wall. This is actually a true superstition from the lower part of Canada and the northeastern United States. And so people actually put shoes in their walls, and this guy in the 21st century actually discovered a shoe in the middle of the wall. And I said at the time, wow, that would make a really good story. And so I wrote a story.
Wow. And then the rest is history. It took off from there. So you heard me talk about the Devil's Jail. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, you see, because if shoes, if witches could be trapped in shoes, well, then, you know, like I could extend the idea to maybe even the devil could be trapped in a shoe.
Ah.
And so really, it started off, the book starts off with a scene from the 17th century where the devil is wreaking havoc in a small little village. And our hero, the hero at the time in the 17th century, he captures the devil in a shoe. And then that shoe is passed through his lineage, through his family, on and on and on until the 21st century, where that shoe actually ends up in a museum. And eventually, that shoe is actually presented in a show talking about witches and talking about devil being caught in a shoe, but nobody believes it. And, well, maybe they should have.
Ah, I like that. Maybe they should have. Ooh.
Yeah, maybe they should have, you know. Like, and there's lots of, the book is, there's a few twists in it. People know that the beast's number is 666, but is it, again, is 666 the beast, the number of the beast? It might not be. And so I did some research, and then I built the book around the number 666 and another number. I built the book around witches being captured in the shoe and how they actually escaped. Because in the 21st century, people are doing renovations, and they break down walls, and inside the walls are these shoes. And there might be a witch in them. Might be.
Yeah. I love it. And then, you know, it's interesting after that. So you do that, and you also have A Murder in Heaven, which is the Devil's Jail book two. And I guess there was more to the story. Give us a little kind of sneak peek into the second book.
Well, the murder in Heaven is really the extension of the Devil's Jail. The Murderer in Heaven is a lot more expansive. Devil's Jail is localized northeastern United States. The Murderer in Heaven is talking about the eternal mortal, i.e. God. Devil is included as eternal mortal, but also another third God being luck. Because really, luck is so important in your life. And who is the God of luck? So I thought, well, luck can be represented by playing cards. And the most powerful playing card is not the Ace of Spades. It's the Queen of Spades.
Ooh.
And the Queen of Spades. Now, what would happen if the Queen of Spades was real? What would happen if the Queen of Spades got sick? And things started to change in the world around luck. If, for instance, you know, when you win a lottery, you're the one in a million, or one in a, when you win a lottery, you expect to be the only winner. What happens if you win a lottery and you find out that 1,000 people have chosen the same numbers? You know, this is when luck gets sick. You know, that's so. It's the same. The cast is the same, but it just extends it. The devil is now no longer the person who hates Earth. He's actually trying to protect Earth, and the luck has got his own agenda. Luck is thick. She's turning red, and the root cause for all of this. It's a person called Philip, and she cannot see Philip because Philip's name is different from his birthright. Something has changed to the person called Phil to become Philip, and suddenly the attorney eternal mortals can no longer see this person. Eternal mortals can see the whole world, see all the people, but now they've lost somebody, and this lost person is infecting them. And that's where they just...
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, like and there's a lot of role reversals.
Right.
You can end up with a situation where the devil is, although he's the Antichrist, is actually trying to protect humans, and luck is actually trying to destroy humankind, and also maybe even God herself. Because who wants to be on the wrong side of God? Imagine that.
No.
Yes, I know. Imagine if you have been targeted by God. Is there any worse fold? And that's the theme of the murder in heaven. Because really, heaven is supposed to be a place of peace. But what happens if there actually is a murder in heaven?
Yeah, then what happens next? We have just a couple of minutes left. What do you hope people take away from reading your books?
Well, really, what I'm hoping is that they'll see it as a unique piece of work. Really, because it actually is. The story is unique. There's love inside of the story. There's romance. But there's also twists. There are plenty of twists, but role reversals. But the story is really very unusual. It's very difficult because it's so intricate. There's things you have to look at. You can't just read it and just say, oh, that doesn't seem important. That doesn't seem important. Everything matters. You know, there's a scene in a graveyard. Yes, it really does matter. It's going to be referred to later on. You won't realize it, but it will. Everything was really important. The names of people are so important in the book. And I'd really like to see it seen as an original piece. It's not really like anything else. It's like there's great writers, there's Stephen King and J.K. Rowling, and they've got great stories. But the stories of the Devil's Journal and A Murder in Heaven are different from these great books, and yet it's still different from any other piece of fiction. It really is. It's just very different.
Yeah, and you made it unique. You made it unique, absolutely.
It really is unique, and it is original. And all the readers that I have, they always say the word wow or wicked.
Wow or wicked, that's the perfect place to end this. We're out of time, John.
That's perfect.
We're out of time. That's the perfect way to end it. The Devil's Jail, the John Abbott story, A Murder in Heaven, The Devil's Jail, book 2. You can get it, of course, Barnes & Noble, Amazon as well. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you much indeed.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.